This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Then we bring in super gigantic friend of the show, Brian Anderson, former Indians pitcher, now the color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's also hosted a couple of Brown shows in his day, and he is definitely a friend of the show as he joins us every Friday right here on Baskin and Phelps. B-A-B-A-B-A. You got to watch the Browns game last week. Your thoughts?
Oh, you know what? I was crushed, of course. I mean, it was it couldn't have worked out any better. Our game, like I said last week, we were playing at 1, ended up being a really long game. So thankfully they had moved it back to noon. So I was able to get away from Tropicana Field, get to where I could sit down and watch the game. And I was there from kickoff. And I thought, you know, as the game unfolded, that opening drive, it reminded me of that opening drive a couple of years ago where they went right down the field, scored a touchdown. You're like, this is going to be so great. I think it was Freddie Kitchen. And then they end up getting their teeth knocked out. You know, the rest of that game, it reminded you of that. They were so good, so efficient, touchdown, you know, then the penalty, hey, let's go for the 2-point conversion. And they were off and running. And you know, it was one of those things where I remember when it got to halftime, I was with a couple of buddies and they're like, you got to be feeling pretty good. And I'm like, well, of course, 22-10, you know, at the half against this team on the road, they played about a perfect of a first half as I think that you possibly could. It, given those circumstances. And I remember saying to them, you know what, this is still going to come down to what team makes the dopey turnover. Even though they've got a 12-point lead, Kansas City's going to score. They're going to make some adjustments. They're going to score. It's going to be who commits the dopey turnover. And I thought that the Nick Chubb fumble was said turnover, only to have the punting situation, hold my beer, and let's drop the punt. And, you know, it just, you could see it start to unravel from there. And you realize that talent-wise, they're right on the same level of the Chiefs. I thought the Browns outplayed them that entire day, but it still comes down to that championship DNA. And those type of teams don't make dopey mistakes that cost them games. They just don't. And so you hope that it's a learning experience. And they can take that, you know, keep that in their back pocket and become a little bit more steely and resolved upstairs, because certainly the talent is there. There's no question about that. But it was just another one of those days where at the end of the game, I was crushed. I was exhausted and crushed, just like last year.
A lot of people around here were complaining about Joe Woods left and right, BA. Were you in that same camp?
You know, not yet. I mean, it's early. I will tell you this, that just not breaking the game down as an analyst, but you know, watching it and just getting an overall feel, I wasn't overly impressed with the defense at all. I mean, I think that they did what they had to do. I don't think there was, you know, last year we remember the Tampa Bay Buccaneers making Patrick Mahomes' life miserable, and you didn't see that. You didn't see that. I think for the most part, he had the time that he needed. You know, I think the Browns' run defense is going to be stout. But I just did. There's nothing really flashed on defense that made me go, oh, wow, this unit's different. This is a different group. It didn't look that different from last year. But at the same time, I wasn't going to overreact. It's one game, and it's against arguably the best offense in professional football. So let's give it some time.
So how far away do you think the Browns are? I mean, and I say that going into a game this week that Vegas thinks they're going to win by like just under two touchdowns.
Yeah, well, I mean, how far away do I think they are from what?
From being a team that should be able to contend for the Super Bowl. Did they
Think that they're valuable lessons learned away. Very close. Again, you put talent for talent on the field. Listen, you're going into Arrowhead where they haven't had fans in 2 years. So you're going to get real fans, a packed house. It's going to be frothy, and you're playing one of the, if not the best team in the NFL. And so that atmosphere is just, it will overwhelm a lot of people and a lot of teams. And instead, the Browns go toe-to-toe. And like I said, I thought on the whole, they outplayed them. But guess what? Championship teams, teams that hoist trophies, don't beat themselves in games like that. They don't. That's the difference. So if they can learn from that, and if they can avoid those self-inflicted game-killing mistakes, then they're right there. But they have, that's the stuff they have to clean up. That's the, you know, and then you look at the opportunity at the end of the game. So all that being said, you lose the turnover battle at that point, 2-0, but you still have a chance. You still have a chance to drive down the field and do this and beat the Chiefs, you know, in Kansas City. I'll say this, and granted, he's on a different stratosphere. The other night when the Buccaneers were playing and Tom Brady got the ball back at the end of the game, was there anybody out there that thought that they were not going to win that game? Nobody. Nobody. You knew it. You're like, there's too much time. It's Tom Brady. He's going to find a way to get him into field goal range, and this game is over. You knew it before they took the drive. Browns still aren't there yet. They had that opportunity and just couldn't cash in. Baker gets tripped up. He can't get the ball to the sideline. It gets picked off. That's turnover battle, 3-0, and that's the end of the game. So they're close, but there are some intangibles that need to improve.
Brian Anderson joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. BA, I think you're dead on. I mean, it was kind of where everybody sat in the beginning of the year. I think there is one tier that's the Chiefs, the Buccaneers, you know, toss. I mean, after week one, you probably move the Packers out of that, but still, you get the general idea. And they are firmly in that second tier. Where it's like you could see them win the Super Bowl. It make a lot of sense. They just have to get some of the dumb stuff out of the way, and they need to grow and they need to gel. And I think this week with the Texans coming to town can only help that cause.
Yeah, that certainly is the hope. This is interesting. I think that this is a big game because there's not a pundit out there that's not going to pick the Browns and pick the Browns big. And so you're going to see how professional this football team is. Attention to detail, business-like. Put that game last week, you know, out of our minds. Let's get back to focus on the details, go out there, be able to execute a game plan, and go out and take care of business. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see the Texans hanging around, you know, a dopey penalty here, a fumble there, and all of a sudden it's a dogfight at the end. And certainly that could be the case. I mean, it's the NFL, and the Texans did play well last week. However, if you're going to be that next level team, you go out and you handle your business. You play buttoned up and you just out talent the other team. Period, end of discussion. And that's what I want to see. Are they professional enough to go out there and do that? And I think they are. I do think that they are. And you're absolutely right about there being two tiers. And you know, you talked about the Packers. That'll be an interesting watch. I think everybody has the Bills up there, the Ravens, the Browns. Who's going to make the next step? And I like the Browns' chances because I do like their leadership. I love the coaching staff, the front office. I think Baker, and you hear his teammates talk about him, what kind of leader he is. But now it comes down to the execution part of it, and we'll see. It's going to be a long season and a long ride, but I'm hopeful.
PA, what are your thoughts on Odell Beckham Jr.? Kevin Stefanski came out on, Wednesday and said, hey, he's not playing this week. So I know he's got to get healthy. I'm just – like – I think I'm at the point now where Browns fans believe that if he plays, he plays. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And we can still win every game whether he's out there or not.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I think that, you know, that there are some national guys that have, you know, probably a better feel for NFL football than I do say that his explosiveness is something that this offense is missing and would be a benefit. And so I'll take them at their word. But I'm in the camp that, you know, he hasn't been there. He hasn't been healthy. You kind of wonder what the situation is, because you see him in pregame and you see him in practices and making all of the moves, and you wonder how he's not healthy yet. I mean, is that the truth? Is that the real story? Or is there something more afoot here? I mean, I don't know, but it's kind of like it's like that scene in Hoosiers where they all wanted Jimmy Chitwood, all the fans, and Norman Dale said, "Hey, cheer the basically, let's go with, you know, support the people that we have here, the people that are here now, and play with them." And that's kind of how I feel about the Browns. Let's focus on the group that's there. They're making plays. You know, Donovan Peoples-Jones had that huge, you know, preseason. Was anybody else surprised that Schwartz played as big of a role as he did? I mean, all of a sudden, this guy's out of nowhere and catching everything. I mean, he had that one bobble on the long ball, but he ended up hauling it in. And I'm thinking, now, where did this guy come from? I thought they were going to ease him along, and he looked to be a big part of the plan. And so, you know, maybe that's your Odell Beckham Jr. in training.
Yeah, Schwartz and Njoku having an impact on that game shocked me. Those are two guys I did not think would be there, BA, and it was really nice to see that happen. And I think that's something that could definitely carry over, and you might be onto something with the replacement of OBJ, but that's a funky situation, though. I mean, that's a real funky situation. What do you do if you're the Browns with him? Are you just taking your time and getting him back, or are you want to get him back as fast as possible?
Well, I think that obviously that they have let it be known that they're taking their time to get him back and getting him to fit back into the offense. I thought he would have played opening week, and then I thought certainly, if not opening week, he'll be activated against the Texans. And for Stefanski to come out so early in the week and say he's not playing this weekend. Okay, well, now I start to wonder what actually is going on. Is this a health issue, or is it deeper than that? I don't think any of us know or will ever know, you know, and until Terry Pluto writes his book in, you know, another 3 or 4 years. I mean, who knows? But, that's the thing. I don't know how that is going to work out. I am interested to see how the Browns handle it. I think, again, with Barry and Stefanski in charge, that they seem to be next level professional, doing what's best for the team, and they are not going to be bothered and they are not going to be hampered by any distractions. If you're not pulling in the same direction, they'll find, you know, somewhere to put you where you go away. And I think that that's how they're going to handle this. And, you know, when you make that known to a roster, and I don't care if it's football, baseball, I don't care what the sport is, when you make it known that's how we're going to handle our business, everybody falls in line. And if they don't fall in line, they're gone. Period. That's end of discussion. We are all going for a championship, and we're all going to do it a certain way and with a certain sense of decorum, and, you know, on and on and on. And if you are a distraction on the field or in the clubhouse or in the locker room, hit bricks. And I think that that's how they're going to handle anything like that. So we'll see. Not to say that there's any distraction looming, but I think that they're certainly taking their time, and they're not going to put up with a whole lot of, you know, nonsense.
B.A., let me flip over to baseball for just 1 minute here. The Indians, since the last time we talked to you, got no hit for the third time, and they like to flirt with no hitters left and right. The good thing is, we know after the season, the Indians will never get no hit again. Is there shame in being no hit?
Yes.
Is there shame in it?
Let me backtrack. There's shame in the Indians situation. To get no hit is another pitcher having the night of his life. You're just having an unbelievable game and being able to go out there and execute pitches at a high level, and maybe you hit a couple of balls hard and they make great defensive plays. Hey, it is what it is. When you get no hit 3 times in one season, shame, all caps, absolutely. I know that down here, when that no-hitter happened, the next day, it was just like, are you kidding me with this AL Central? And by the way, the Indians got no hit for the third time. I mean, it was a joke in Tampa. You can't let that, as far as baseball goes, let that be a joke in Tampa, Florida. So, yes, I definitely think there's shame when you get no hit 3 times in one season. And by the way, it's not over yet.
I know.
That's the scariest part.
That is not good. That is not – you – guys feel bad getting no hit once, but you understand, you tip your hat. You get no
right.
hit 2 more times, and then it's like, hey, fellas, come on.
Especially, you're in New York for the weekend, and Garrett Coles gets a start. Ugh.
You know what? Don't tune him up. See, that's baseball. They'll get no hit three times, and then they'll go make Gerrit Cole's life miserable this weekend. That's how this dopey game works sometimes.
All right, so they're getting Shane Bieber back for a rehab start. You understand this as a pitcher more than anything else. What do you think of the fact that we are in mid-September and the number one start of the Indians are getting a couple of, you know, AAA starts is going to find its way back to the big leagues? If you were a pitcher, would you rather just be shut down for the rest of the year and focus on 22, or do you want to come back and get one more start in 21?
You absolutely want one more start in 21. You want to prove to yourself, your teammates, your organization that you're back, you're healthy, you can execute your pitches, and you can go into the offseason on a positive, with a positive frame of mind. Because until you get back out there and you do it for real, full effort against a major league team, there's a little bit of doubt. I don't care what you say to the media or what you say you're getting interviewed or what you say to your teammates and coaching. There's a little bit of doubt until you get out there and do it again. You can throw rehab starts. You can throw simulated games. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same adrenaline level. It's not the same effort level when you put a big leaguer in a different color uniform in that batter's box, you know, on TV in front of 25,000 people. It's different. And so you want to get back out there and experience that again and prove to yourself, your organization, that you're A, healthy, B, you're back. You can execute pitches, and then you can go into the offseason with a full offseason workout, clean, and feel good about things. And have a positive frame of mind going into next year. So you absolutely want to get back out there. I know it seems, what's the point? The point is, for Shane Bieber, his mind, the organization, the coaching staff, for their peace of mind, and for a good jumping off point to a successful offseason rolling into spring training.
All right, BA, last question. I'm trying to figure out, did you ever have a no-hitter? I'm looking.
Oh, I don't think, you know what? No, I've never thrown a no-hitter.
Even in Wright State or high school?
No. I always had it ruined one way or the other. And I can remember the most vivid memory I had is when I was pitching in the All-Stars when I was, I think I was 12 in Little League All-Stars. No, seriously, this is a fact. And I'm pitching against Chardon, and it's the top of the sixth inning. We're going to win the game. Top of the sixth inning, because that's what we played. I had gone 5 2/3, no hit, and this kid by the name of David Toedy, I'll never forget his name, David Toedy, with two outs in basically the top of the ninth inning, lays down a bunt for a hit.
Are you serious?
It was a perfect – I mean, to this day, I had always hoped that I would cross paths with David Toedy in high school because I would have neckballed him. Absolutely, 100%. No, he laid down a two-out bunt. I'll give him credit. It was a good bunt, but it was bull crud, and I lost a no-hitter. But I'll never forget that kid's name, David Toedy, Chardon. I probably bumped into him somewhere. We come to know each other. But, yeah, that's the one that jumps out for sure.
BA, one last thing, and I'm bummed because I don't know if this is going to happen. I got a text earlier this week from the person that bought your house here in Northeast Ohio. After you said, did you leave any nuggets or anything behind or anything?
Listen, I have preliminarily started to go through some of the boxes that were shipped down here, and I may have left them too much. I'm coming across like, well, wait a minute, where's that? And where's that? Yeah, so they may be able to start up their small little memorabilia shop. Now, listen, it would be Brian Anderson-centric, so it probably wouldn't do very well. However, I think I probably left them more than I, you know, thought that I
like
was
Like, you left some memorabilia there. Is that what you're saying?
I think I did. I don't know. I'm going through stuff, and there is stuff missing. So I'm thinking that inadvertently, I may have left them a lot of stuff.
Wow. All right, well, maybe we'll find – I heard about your high school. Brian, it's amazing the things I hear about you after we're out of the air. Somebody called about the car you had in high school.
What happened in high school?
Did you have some kind of a car in high school, some kind of a
– I had a 78 Grand Le Mans that was – let's just say it was a certain shade of brown.
Okay.
Yep. But it was sweet. It had a big engine in it. Why? What
Somebody told me a story about your car in high school. They're like, I'm going to call in and tell everyone about his car that he had in high school. I'm like, all right,
No. It was a 78 Pontiac Grand Le Mans. My parents made the mistake after they bought that for me. My parents made the mistake that, yeah, it had come down to this or an orange Camaro. Oh, okay. The orange Camaro or the family truckster. Thanks, guys. You could have probably kept that orange Camaro and put it back in your wallet and not told me that that was the loser.
All right, BA, we got to go. This interview was frothy and dopey. I just want you to know that all at the same time.
You know what?
Goodbye.
It felt that way to me, which means we hit the nail on the head. We did.
Another week in the book.
It's a winner. Brian Anderson, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week, dude. Thanks, my friend.
Talk, brother.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
You as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.